Shall we turn for our reading this evening to the Gospel according to Matthew? The Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 11. Very interesting that our brother who prayed quoted from this chapter in his prayer. That is a welcome indication of our exercise. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, please, and verse number 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. 1 Corinthians, please. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. Chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. Verse 1, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now chapter 13 of the same epistle, verse number 8. Chapter 13 and verse number 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 9. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacteth by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now you'll bear with me if I invite you to another portion, this time to Hebrews chapter 5. The epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 5. Verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be unuttered or of interpretation, seeing ye are dull, seeing ye are become dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now we do trust the Lord will add his blessing to that extensive, and yet I do trust, helpful reading of his holy word. Last evening in the ministry, we dealt with the subject of brethren and relationships with brethren especially as seen in the Gospel of Matthew. While we did not cover all the portions, we sought to cover many and most of them, in which the Lord Jesus gives direction on our relationships with our brethren. Now tonight I'm going to take a different subject, which I'm sure appeals to you from the reading we have made of the Word of God. In each of the portions we have read tonight, the Holy Spirit of God is using a word. A word that describes growth. A word that is used to describe growth at a certain stage. From, of course, growth from babyhood to manhood. If we were reading in the Old Testament scriptures and paying attention to the volume that is used in this subject, we would discover that the Hebrew language uses 6 different words to describe that growth. And most of them are used in our Old Testament. But when we come to the New Testament, fellow saints, there are 3 words that are used by the Spirit of God to deal with this period. There is one with which we are very, very familiar, and it's simply the word children. And we are truly children of God. And the apostle delights to speak of Timothy as my child in the faith. And that word is describing, of course, that into which we have been brought by the grace of God into the family of God. We are children of God. But in the passages we have read tonight, there is another word that the Spirit of God is using. And that word is used 14 times in our New Testament. Sometimes it is translated in our English Bible by the word babe, and other times by the word child or children. And so I have read to you these portions with this word in view. And if you wanted a title for my message, I'm really going to speak to you about babe. Last night, it was brethren. Tonight, the subject is babes. But babes with the emphasis on the word that the Spirit of God is using in each of these portions of the New Testament, which we have selectively read to you. And I want you to see that there is a real message for us at this present day in which we live, as we look at our Bible and see the use that the Spirit of God can make of this very instructive term. Now, there is much before me, and rather than keep you late, I want to get down to work immediately. I want you, first of all, in this meeting to think of the babe and its innocency. Now that's a lovely word, and we like to link that word with a little babe. We say, look how innocent it is. And that's a very, very commendable word. And I want you to grasp that aspect of the word in relation to our subject in Matthew chapter 11. The Lord Jesus Christ is using the word this time. And he says, Father, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good or it was well-pleasing in thy sight. I'm captured in mind by this word that the Lord Jesus is using here, and especially with the context that surrounds it. I'm asking myself, I don't know about you down there, but I'm asking myself, would I qualify in this term that the Savior is using? Would I be one that is the occupation of His communication with the Father? For as you can see, it is one of those seven times in our New Testament where we have the actual word. The actual words that the Lord Jesus used when He addressed the Father. That would open to us a very rich ministry, but we want just to keep to this one especially, where we have the actual words the Lord used in His address to His God. These babes are, as you can see, the subjects of divine conversation. The Lord Jesus is speaking to the Father about these people. And He terms them babes. And He's saying something else. Not only are they the subjects of divine communication, but they are the objects of divine consideration. Divine consideration. For the Lord Jesus says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Here is a company of people that not only are the subjects of divine communication, but they are also the objects of divine consideration. But they're more than that. They are the recipients of divine revelation. My brethren, that's tremendous, isn't it? Thou hast revealed it unto babes. There's a certain community of people of which the Lord speaks and He describes them, and they haven't got it. The wise and the prudent. They are passed by. And the Lord Jesus says, thou hast revealed them unto babes. Of course, He's not speaking about the suckling babe that's in the meeting tonight or ever and anywhere else, as you know. He's using this word in its metaphorical sense, and He's using this word to describe persons who are the recipients of divine revelation. That is, the Father has committed something to them. The Father has communicated His mind to them. In the earthly, in the worldly sense, they are wise. In the worldly sense, they are prudent. When the world looks at certain people, they can see them very, very wise and very, very prudent. And I haven't time to deal with the simple difference between those two words. I hope you'll look at them. But they're passed by. Doubtless the world would give them attention. Doubtless the world would put a lot within their hand, but not the Father. And what the Father has done, beloved, receives the acquiescence of the Son. Even so, Father, He's acquiescing in the action of the Father. I don't know whether you feel you qualify as a babe tonight or not. I ask myself, do I? And I ask myself, what measure of this divine revelation do I possess? Maybe I know too much for the Father to tell me anything. You got that? Maybe when He has communicated something to me, I have been too wise and too prudent in the worldly sense even to retain it. It's no longer there. I hope you feel this. You know, the word here suggests the babe, and the word here is a non-speaking babe, you know. That's the real meaning of it. I'll not give you the word because we're not in Athens. But you can work at that later in the secret. And you know, when you see a little one, you can tell it anything. And it'll believe you. Won't it? And you like your little one to do that. And you admire and you appreciate and you value the innocence of that little one. And you would pray that it would never be spoiled. And you would pray that it would never be exploited. And you would long that it could grow up like that the longest day it lived in all the simplicity of its dependence upon the Word. My brethren, in a word, I'm outlining the quality and I'm outlining the qualifications of the babe, you know. Spiritual. There are some young people, you can teach them nothing because they know too much. And if we who are humans have a difficulty in communicating certain things, what must the divine mind be? Oh, that we had the innocence of a babe. What do you mean? I mean this. At that time, I like to keep to the context of the book, you know. At that time, what time? Well, the word really is season. What does that mean? Well, you know it's the fall. How do you know it's the fall? You look at the leaves on the roof. They bear evidence of the season of the year. Every season has its signs. At that season, what was happening? Well, I'm going to give you three things. First of all, there was the imprisonment of John. That's in the earlier portion of the chapter. Secondly, there is the indifference of the children. That important parable, very short one that the Lord says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the marketplaces, calling unto their fellows, and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. The indifference of the children. And then I want you to come to see in verse number 20, the impenitence of the cities. Three classes of people. I'm quite sure that you will recognize that John symbolizes the spiritual. I want you to see that the children symbolize the carnal. And then the people in the cities, of course, they symbolize the natural. They will not repent. Each of these companies and each of these representatives have been addressed of God. And the Lord has spoken to them. And they are variously reacting to the voice of the Lord, their God. Now what I want to do in this meeting tonight is this. I want to bring the Word of God to my heart. And I want to bring it to yours. And I want you to be able to put yourself in one or other of these classifications on this issue. How do I respond to the voice of God? How do I respond? Well, circumstances do not matter my beloved. You might be in circumstances that may be comparable to the imprisonment of John. You might feel your spirit is encased in bars of hardness. Many a beloved believer finds himself in a supposed state like that. How does he react? The uppermost thing, beloved, is how you react. And how you react, you are responding to the Word of God, one way or another. The trial of worth. The trial of worth, which of course I want you to see in John, has in every age perplexed the judgment of the godly. You might feel that you should be in a better place than you are tonight. But if you are there according to the will of God, then you be careful how you react. That's the point. You are being tried. These circumstances, my beloved, in which you are found, are circumstances that are testing you. And it may find, you might find them perplexing. You might find them very punishing, as John might have felt it. Remember, these difficulties can be effectually answered by a simple application to Christ. I hope we do that. If you are in such a place tonight, if you find your spirit encased in a situation that would cause it to be hard, I trust you know that there is a path that you can tread that brings you into direct relationship with the Lord Jesus, and you can apply to Him. John's doing that. And remember, the stage of moral excellence is not the platform. The stage of moral excellence is activity in obscurity. Hope you know that. And if you do not know that, then of course, you will find yourself oppressed by your circumstances. But every child of God that knows the mind of God and knows that he's there by the will of God finds himself superior to circumstances, be they iron walls or iron bars or whatever. How do you know? Well, all prison experiences make the man, you know, and bring out the man that God has made. We haven't time to speak of Joseph. We've had that already with prophet. I want you to think tonight of this man, John. Whether it's Peter or Paul, or the first John of Matthew and the last John of Revelation, they're all men of the prison. I want you to see this, brethren. This is what really makes it to my soul. The Lord Jesus Christ looked at these people and he said to them, "What went you out to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" Do you think for one moment the Lord is saying that John is wavering by the wind of circumstance? You go out to see a kind of man like that? My dear brother, my dear sister, I know it's difficult, but we have been there in that measure, and you know where you are tonight, and God knows that this experience in which you're found is bringing you into moral stability. It's God's intention. If, says the Lord Jesus, you wanted to see a man in soft clothing, where would you go? Well, I'd go to the king's palace. Very good. Did John wear soft clothing? You want to see a man like John, you go past the palace and you don't stop until you reach the prison. Brethren, not only do we need moral stability, but you know this, we need material utility. We're a wee bit too prosperous, you know. Soft clothing is the order, eh? Did you go out to see a man like that, says the Lord? You know the kind of garb he wore, don't you? You know the kind of life he lived. But what's that all got to do with it? Did you go out to see a prophet? I'm coming to it now. You listen. The Lord Jesus says, I'm going to tell you, you saw more than a prophet. You saw more than a prophet. What's that? Moral stability? Yes. Material utility? Yes. But spiritual ministry? See? This is the kind of babe, you know. This is the kind of person the Lord's talking about at that time. He's got the like of John in mind. And furthermore, John represents the spiritual. I'd like to develop that more, but I feel that at that time, and with this great incident in view, we're looking at the outline of a spiritual babe, one to whom the Lord, the Father, has revealed. And brethren, I do trust tonight I have, and I do trust that you have, a disposition in your soul relative to this book that may hold it up to you, and relative to the truth of this book that brings you into a simple innocence that accepts without reservation what the Word of God teaches and what the Word of God says on issues that are being ignored fearsomely today. I want just for a minute to spend on these children. There is an approach been made. There are two approaches made. John came. Jesus came. This generation of which the Lord's speaking at that time, they carried on indifferent. It wouldn't matter if you danced, they were unresponsive. It wouldn't matter if you mourned, they were unresponsive. The Lord Jesus is saying, I'm going to liken this generation to these obstinate children who with their fellows would not cooperate under any circumstances. They were always in the opposition. The simple figure is, my brethren know it well, don't they? At the first moment, it says, they wanted to play a wedding. Pipe and dance. I wouldn't play weddings. Well, then their fellow says, let us play funerals. And the Lord Jesus says, we have mourned and you have not lamented. He's looking at these children in the marketplaces, and he sees that no matter what their fellows ask, from one thing to another, they're totally indifferent. To me, that's carnality, brethren. You know, it seems to me that no amount of approach from heaven stirs their souls. And I wouldn't want to think that there were any in the meeting that are sitting before me and before God in the ministry tonight as indifferent as these children really were. A picture of those to whom the word came. They were unresponsive. Why the disobedience in assemblies today? Unresponsive hearts. Why the discord? Why the great difference as time moves on in the changes that are being brought in? It's simply this. People are unresponsive to the word of God. Then, of course, there are those that are impenitent, and to me they're natural, and the Lord began to upbraid them at that time with these three classes in mind. At that time, he turns now to heaven and he sees the wisdom and the will and the word of God in commending these that are spiritual. Now I wonder tonight, before I move on, are you in possession of something from God today that has come to your heart through His Word because of your spiritual dependence and disposition before Him? My dear young Christian, my dear older friend, what we really need is a spirit of innocency. What a verse of a hymn to sing. Lord, speak to me. What a confirmation. Now let us move. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, and just a brief word because there is much ahead. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, very familiar ground, and repeating the three clauses that we have had already before us. You know that in chapter 2, there is the natural man, the previous chapter. And you know in the same chapter, there is the spiritual. He that is spiritual. And you know also in chapter 3 in our reading, there are those that are carnal. And so the apostle says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Listen, as unto babes in Christ. Now here is the word used in a way that suggests something different to what we have had in Matthew 11. In Matthew 11, we looked at the babes and their innocency. Now I want you to look at the babes and their infancy. They're not growing. They ought to be developing. They ought to be maturing. But as Paul looks upon these beloved believers, he has to speak to them as babes in Christ. He says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. So their food is indicating exactly where they are. They're not eating. They have a restricted assimilation. And then they're not growing. And if they're not growing, it's obvious they have a limited appreciation. And then you'll notice they're not discerning. For he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, but hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able to bear, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Oh, dear beloved, what is the cause of this? What is happening here? Let me give you a very brief outline of the virus that's hindering the spiritual growth. The Corinthians in this passage are seen as being self-centered. They are seen as being self-contained. They are seen as being self-controlled. They are seen as being self-contented. And they are seen as being self-conceited. To me, that is the outline of this very, very ponderous passage. Babes in Christ, not in the slightest idea of all to commend, but to bring them to realize the condition into which they have come as a result of this awful virus of the self-life. The self-life makes a man carnal. It gives him natural appearances and removes all the spiritual features he once enjoyed. I do trust that we feel this tonight, because I like to think of what the apostle has spoken of in the previous chapter. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Then I like this. For, let me just mention this to my brethren that read very carefully. When the apostle Paul uses this word babe or babes, there is always in the context the word perfect. Always. And thus you read in verse 6 of chapter 2, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, full grown. Yet he says, not the wisdom of this world. Not the wisdom of this world. The perfection here is a maturity that is brought about, in the language of the previous passage, heavenly wisdom. The communication of the mind and will of the Father through his word. That's what brings it about. A dear saint of God, if there's not a desire in your heart tonight to work at your Bible, to study the Word of God, to come to it and to find the strong meat of the Word, then you must of necessity be ministering somewhere to the carnal and to the natural in your life. What have we seen? We have seen everywhere we have traveled the world over by the grace of God. I'm talking about traveling by the grace of God. What have we seen? Young people, assemblies that have sought to minister to this side of things have lost all the spiritual power they ever possess, if they ever did possess it. Now what are you going to be? a babe in innocency and be enriched by the ever-increasing knowledge of God through His Word? Or are you going to be a babe in infancy, not able to masticate, not able to assimilate, not able to appreciate, not able to appropriate the Word of God? You see, the remedy is acknowledging the authority of God. The remedy to this virus is the acceptance of the ministry of Christ in His Word, and the absolute acceptance, listen, of the sovereignty of the Spirit of God in your life. Nothing less will do. Now chapter 13, please. Chapter 13. Look at verse number 11. When I was a child, that is, when I was a babe, that's our word, I speak as a babe. I want you to put over that the word tongues. I understood as a child. Or if you will, I felt as a child. I want you to put over that the word prophecy. And then the apostle said, I thought as a child. The word is, I reasoned as a child. I want you to put over that the word knowledge. Now, the apostle says, but when I became a man, what I tell you, I told you just now, wherever the apostle uses the word babe in this sense, he always has the word man, perfect man, mature man in the text. And here it is. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, why do I come to this? Because here is the apostle using the word in a very, very interesting verse, which, by the way, is a parenthetical illustration. And it's parenthetical because it comes between verse 10 and verse 12. And in that sense, it is an illustration placed parenthetically in between the run of the teaching. And the illustration is gathered by the apostle through the Spirit to convey the babe in another aspect. First of all, we had the babe in his innocency. That's spirituality. And then we, in its infancy, and we have discovered that that is carnality. But here is the babe and its inadequacy. Inadequacy. Because this babe has got a limited ability, a limited capacity, and a limited mentality. That's important, isn't it? Why? Because of what the apostle is teaching in the passage. What's he teaching in the passage? Well, when you go back to verse number 8, you will find love or charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies. That's one of the words that I give you in the illustrative verse. Whether there be prophecies, they shall hear. Whether there be tongues, they shall see. That's another one of those words I put in the illustration. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And that is the third word I introduce to the illustration. Now someone says, what are you going to make of verse number 8 that you quoted? Well, I want to make a lot of it. Not that I'm going to make of it. I'm going to place it in the context of the Word of God. Because, you see, there are multitudes of believers ensnared by the charismatic movement and Pentecostalism the world over. How are we going to withstand the pressure of this awful force? How are we going to preserve the assemblies in this day? We can only do it by a clear, lucid exposition of the Word of God. And this is what makes a babe into a man, into a full-grown man. Well, if you go back to chapter 12, sorry I'm asking you to do so much work tonight, but it'll be useful. You go to chapter 12 with me now, will you? And you open at verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, just do something. You see the next word, to another? If you don't want to mark your Bible, fair enough. Put it on the sheet before you and put a ring round that word another, because that's a different word to the other word another in the verse. And that means we're starting a second section. And in the second section we have faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, then to another. I put the ring round that word another, for it is the same as the word at the beginning of verse 9, but it's different to the words in the middle of verse 9. And that gives us the second section of these gifts. And then we continue to another. Diverse kinds of tongues. And says the apostle, to another, the interpretation of tongues. And the nine sign gifts are compounded into three sections by the appearance of this strange word, another, different to the others in the text. In other words, we've got a catalog of gifts. Now, you notice what has happened. And this is a principle. Wherever the Word of God, the Spirit of God, gives you a catalog of things in the New Testament, and whenever the Lord, the Spirit, wishes to refer to that catalog again, he might either quote one, or two, or three. And when he selects, he's covering all that's in the catalog without repeating it the second time. So now what has Paul done? Paul has said this in verse 8 of chapter 13, whether there be prophecies. That is, he has taken a gift out of the second section in chapter 12. And then he says, whether there be tongues. And he's taken a gift out of the third section. And then he says, whether there be knowledge. And he has taken a gift out of the first section. Very thoughtful. What has he done? He's telling you that the time will be when these gifts will vanish away. Will fade. Now, these words are very much the same, but there is difference. I won't take time to explain that. All I want you to get is this. What he says about the three, he's saying about the nine. And the illustration then shows us that he's bringing the illustration in to suggest the inadequacy of the babe with the tongues, with the prophecy, with the knowledge. For he says, with all that, we only know in part, and we only prophesy in part. But he says, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That's beautiful. That gives me to see, as you must see tonight, that the chapter and the Spirit of God that gives us the communication of the gifts in chapter 12 is the same Spirit in chapter 13 that tells us of the cessation of the gift. And when we see that in this passage, how wondrously the Spirit of God has brought it together, we see this, that in the consummation of the revelation of God in His Word, that is brought about this manhood that could never be possible in the babe condition of which the apostle has illustratively described. What does that mean? That means this, that as far as this book is concerned, and as far as the revelation of God in His Word is concerned, there hasn't been a communication from God since the lost apostle died. When a person comes to you and says, I've got a revelation from God, or I've got a communication from God, and they speak of it, of course, in the article sense, which every charismatic person has to speak of it. You'll know this. It's spurious. For God is not giving an ongoing revelation. Remember that. If that were so, then I have absolutely no argument against the Mormon that says his book came from God. And the Muslim who says that his Quran came from God. And from the hosts of Celtic sources that all claim the same thing. What brings about spiritual manhood in this sense? What brings about this condition, beloved? My dear soul, darling, it is this, that you acknowledge the fullness of the Word of God. Its completeness. When the Apostle John put down his pen, God has never orally communicated with men since. There's our sin. I have never met a charismatic person that believes in the full Word of God. I have never yet met a person that agrees with that. That claims ongoing revelation. I can get fresh impressions from God through His Word. I can receive guidance from God through His Word. I can hear God speaking to me through His Word. So can you. But charismatic folks today are saying, this book is only a model of what is ongoing today. Only a model. What they receive, they would say, is comparable to the Word of God. It's blasphemy. And so, if we're going to have the innocence of the babe, we're going to receive the message from God in His Word. We're going to accept it without reservation. If we're going to be brought out of this carnal situation, then we're going to have to bow to that same Word. And it's going to come with all the strength and sweetness of the strong meat which our appetite can absorb by the aid of the Spirit of God. If we're going to be still a babe with all the inadequacy that babyhood involved, then of course, my dear friend, that's your affair. But thank God, I personally, and the most of my brethren, I'm sure, present, if not all, are willingly included in this. We have put aside the childish things. Now, chapter 4 of Ephesians. What is the ministry of the gifts? What a ministry now. I just want to mention this and then we'll close. It's the same again. Look at our word babe in verse number 14, that we henceforth be no longer babes, tossed to and fro. What does that mean? Now listen carefully, brethren. I have had to deal with many and many a soul, especially in Malaysia, that has been tragically affected by what I've been speaking about earlier. And those people are mentally agitated. That is, in their mind, they are dealing with something that's very, very disturbing. That's not of God. God never put a soul in that condition with His Word yet. The Word of God in the ministry brings peace. And it brings calmness. We're talking about a storm here. Tossed to and fro. Mentally agitated. It's the intrusion of evil that does that. What else? Carried about by every wind of doctrine. That to me is this intellectually upset. That's tragic enough. A Bible, the Word of God, never produces that condition. Listen to it. What does it say? By the sleight of man. The sleight of men. That shows they're morally deceived. Morally deceived. That is, the casting of the dice was so quick, the eye could never see the cunningness. Brethren, it's time we ministered. I'm not saying you're not doing this. God knows I know you are. But I must make it in this rhetoric sense, it is time that we ministered the Word of God faithfully and fearlessly, that the saints of God know there is not the slightest piece of cunningness in our hearts. There's enough of it outside. Then it says, the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. You see, you can see that they're spiritually caught. Spiritually caught. And what does it add? It says, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're doctrinally astray. Now, young Christian, I know what some say, and I'm speaking to you very carefully. This is the babe and its instability. What's in the passage? The ministry of gifts from the risen head. What is the purpose? Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a full-grown man. Here's it. Told you. Always in the context. Well, there's someone, it's all right. But I'm here tonight because I'll be somewhere else tomorrow night and I'll hear the other side. I would say to you that you're the kind of person or the kind of Ephesian that the apostle was addressing, that go about the markets of the religious world trying this and trying that. And I would think that's how Paul describes him in this verse. Okay, it's all right now. I can come to your country, and if you came to my little town in Bellamina on a Saturday, I could take you to a place that used to be called the Fort Hill, the Prayer Hill, rather. And I go there some Saturday with my wife, and she goes on one end, and I go on the other. And we try this man's fruit, we try somebody else's fruit, and it's better. I say, this one's better than that one. That's all right when it comes to apples and oranges. Got it? But dear saint of God, if you're trying that with the word of God, you're mistaken. You're mistaken. Too many have tried it. Well, I'm just here because I'll be trying something else tomorrow night, and I'll be somewhere else, and then I'll see who's who, and I'll see which is the better or the best. Oh, no. You just come to your Bible. You just come to the Word of God. Don't be marked as a babe with instability. It's drastic. I'm glad that I came onto the ministry of great men. Put a little amount of stability in my soul, and I trust consistency in my heart. Glad of it tonight. Glad I hadn't to go around all the places looking for this and looking for that. Glad to know that I was brought to the place with the Word of God and men gifted from the risen head and gifts from the risen head that poured in the truth of God, and we accepted it. And I want you to accept it tonight. I'll have to leave here.